When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Fresh like, Impala, Yo, this is a good beat. I'm about to put this in my notes. This is a good beat to rap to, a beat that you don't think about. Yo, are you? Yeah. You got the air horns. We need Flex to drop a bomb. I gotta put together some bars. It's the Fan in New York for the fans of the sports on the field, on the diamond, on the ice, and the courts. Keith McPherson always says, shout out to Boone, man. Having a good time inside the 10 o'clock hour on the Fan. Another 5 hour KM to AM. I don't think I've been more glad that I wasn't somewhere else. I don't think I've been more glad that I didn't take a trip that I've taken the last 3 years that I, you know, put in for vacation. And then the schedule came out and I was like, wait. I didn't go this year. I want that. I want that airtime. In a time where people are proclaiming themselves the future of WFAN, in a time where people are calling themselves generational talents, I ain't got to do all that. I just got to show up and be myself. I just got to show up and do what I always do, and it speaks for itself. Shout out to Loogie, though, cutting those wrestling promos, and Sean Morash with his Peter Schwartz article about, you know, being groomed and being on the afternoon drive. Great for those guys, man. You know, something I think about a lot here at WFAN, it's like, I didn't intern, right? I skipped the line. I didn't intern. I didn't part-time. I didn't board op. I don't know how to do any of the board op stuff. I never answered a phone. I never did the overnight. I just got dropped in here by Spike Eskin. And whether you like what I do or not, there's enough people that do like what I do. And we're coming up on 3 years of me doing what I do. And I feel like I've gotten better every year. And I hope to continue getting better at what I do. And you know, I've grown, you know, so much in this industry, and I've carried the banner for WFAN, not just here every night, but like on NBC, going on NBC, doing Sports Final, going on the YES Network, MLB Network, the last 2 years going to the All-Star Game, representing WFAN, and now we're watching the All-Star Game, and I'm right here. Now we're watching the All-Star Game, and I am happy to be sitting right in the chair doing my show as the youngest host on the Fan. Yep, the youngest voice that you hear. Outside of Tiki Barber, the only black host that you hear. Someone that actually did play sports, not just varsity, but at two different colleges, Division I football, quarterback. And someone that likes baseball, likes basketball, football, and picked up hockey. Trying to be well-rounded. I think when people call, I treat people right. And I don't know everything. I don't pretend to know everything. But I got internet access, so let's get back to the show. If you guys ask me something that I don't know, I'm going to Google it. And I want to hear from you. Your opinion is as good as mine. 888-808-1019. We were talking about a bunch of things, and I said I'd reset a little bit. I'd reshuffle the deck going into these last 2 hours. I started off talking about Pete Alonso, his flop in the home run derby, what he'll do in the second half. I don't expect him to be traded, but he could be. I don't expect him to break the bank. I don't expect the Mets to not be able to afford him. And then we somehow started talking about Juan Soto, of course, and his contract and what that's going to be as we're watching these guys play in the All-Star game. I'm waiting for Clay Holmes to enter. 5-3 AL leads the NL. We started talking about Bronny James and how I feel bad for that young man. How LeBron is playing with Team USA while Bronny James, his junior, is in the deep end of the pool drowning. He threw him into the fire. The kid is burning alive. He can't hit a shot. Savannah James in the crowd like, damn, not used to this. Look out for Bryce, though. His little brother, give it a couple years. His little brother's taller than he is, more of an offensive player than he is, might actually be the LaMelo ball to his Lonzo ball. 888-808-1019. All the eights in the number are for Aaron Rodgers. This is the Aaron Rodgers hotline. So we're going to talk about Devontae Adams all week. even though his agents came out and said no, even though Keith McPherson got on the Fan yesterday, today, and told you no, doesn't make sense. But Dan Orlovsky said it, and Breece Hall said something about it, and of course Aaron Rodgers started it, and Boomer Esiason said it, so everybody's running with it. Rob Saleh is the coach of the New York Jets. Just let's have that conversation about the New York Jets. Louie is in Lodi, New Jersey. Louie, you're on the Fan.
Hey there, buddy. You're a pretty smart guy. You know that? I've been a Jet fan all my life. He's Louie from Lodi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you a joke after I talk about the Jets a little bit. And let me get through the whole joke, all right? Well, I just want to say I'm a Namath fan, Joe Namath. You know, Aaron Rodgers is pretty popular, but they don't call him Broadway Aaron. You know what I'm saying? They call Joe Namath Broadway Joe, you know?
Yes, sir.
And he won the Super Bowl 69. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Yeah. They had a great team then, you know? Matt Snell and all them guys. I played center for the Lodi Rams, you know, in high school. And then I knocked the coach on his butt, the assistant coach. And
you knocked the coach out?
No more.
Why'd you hit the coach?
Yeah, I knocked him. He wanted to come on a drill with me, and I knocked him to the ground.
With no pads he said, on? He got in a drill with you with no helmet, no shoulder pads?
Well, yeah, that's right. And I didn't have no helmet. I just knocked him on his butt, you know.
He got what was coming to him. He asked for it. He was cruising for a bruising.
Yeah, I'm a big dude. You know what I'm saying? Louie from Lodi. I go to Lodi Pizza where Frank Sinatra had pizza.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, well, let me tell you the joke, all right? Listen, I got a job at the pizzeria, right? Next day I went in, I ate all the pizza. I got canned. I got fired. Then I go home, right? I had a dream about I got a job at the bakery, right? I had a dream about eating all the cannoli. So I went to the bakery the next day, ate all the cannoli, got canned. But then I got a job as a bus driver, and now I should be all right because there's no food on the bus. You know what I mean, Keith?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Louie. Hey, yo, Loopy on the late night getting started. Who's on tonight? Is Pat Boyle on tonight or is Al Cintra? It's Pat Boyle tonight. I know I checked the schedule after I messed that up last night. Get ready, PB. Project Pat. PB, doing it like you're doing it for TV. Overnight, loading. Speaking of Lodi, shout out to Jersey, Frank Sinatra. I want to be a part of it. A New York, New York. Let's continue. The Fan in New York. Let's talk about baseball. I thought we were going to get into some Jets conversations. Like, when I click on the call, I try not to tell you what the call says, but it said Jets issues. And we didn't get into any of the Jets issues. I started off with the main issue that they have. Rob Saleh is your head coach. Don't tell me you're winning the Super Bowl. Don't tell me how many games you're winning. Look at his record. Look at his resume. Paulie, Jets fan?
Jets are going to win 12 games this year. Let me make that clear. 12 games. This team... I know ifs and buts, I get all that. Aaron Rodgers healthy with this offense and the defense. This is 12 games, 12 wins. Let's go. I could not be more high on the Jets going into training camp, going into the regular season. Cannot be more higher on this team. I think the stars are finally aligning.
Okay, well, you done did it. The first game, they go and they play against Brandon Ayuk's current team, the San Francisco 49ers, who went to the Super Bowl. So you mean to tell me that right out of the gate, Aaron Rodgers is going to play the team that he grew up rooting for, his childhood team, the team that passed on him, took Alex Smith.
Statement game for Rodgers. Statement. Everyone wrote him off. Everyone denied his existence. I accepted Aaron Rodgers as my savior for this Jets franchise. I accepted him. No other Jets fan. They all want to get rid of him, go into Egypt, whatever. I don't care what the hell he does. Don't get hurt. And throw the ball around the field, get it to Garrett Wilson, hand it off to Breece Hall, and let's go.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll let the Jets fans call up 888-808-1019 as we will go through the schedule, as we will talk through. Just the first game is an L. Brock Purdy reuniting with Breece Hall, Iowa State. The number one and number two running back, Christian McCaffrey and Breece Hall, ranked one and two. Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. Versus Malachi Corley, Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams. Let me see. Just going to carry the one. The math ain't mathing. 49ers probably by 10. 888-808-1019. We're talking home run derby. We're talking Juan Soto, Pete Alonso. Let's talk to Moose out in Jamaica. What's up, Moose? You got it.
This is a go DJ. No, I'm not going to do the whole. What to do?
DJ
what it
Moose.
Is?
DJ Moose, you are now in the mix with DJ Moose from Jamaica.
You've never seen a player like me. Holla at me, Keith. What's good?
What's up?
See, I'm watching the All-Star game, listening to you, so I didn't even catch the whole Judge Soto conversation. I know I would have been cracking up with the jokes they spit, but I didn't want to get into the Soto off-season conversation. It seems to be dominating, so I have to give my 2 cents. And if I have time, I'll weigh in a little bit on Pete Alonso. But I don't know. I'm not so sure. I think, yes, if the Yankees get close in the postseason to the World Series or win it, it only helps Soto stay. But ultimately, like you said, whether it be $500 million, $550 million, or $600 million, that generational wealth is not that difference of what he gets from whatever team's not going to make a difference. Otherwise, Judge would be with another team. He, you know, made the phone call and so on and so forth. So I basically think that Soto's going to eventually, through Scott Boras, and because he's the most desired free agent, tell Scott Boras, listen, tell the Yankees I want this or around this for this many years and that total. And if the Yankees are hesitant, regardless of how this season unfolds, and I don't think they should, because very rarely has a team had the Yankees, if you ask me, are probably, I don't know, maybe some other team, the best left-handed hitter and the best right-handed hitter in their league, back-to-back in the lineup. When the trade happened, like, I had this euphoria nirvana sensation that, oh my God, who's pitching for this lineup? And we saw that up until June and the injuries and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, my 2 cents is, like, let's say Soto tells Scott Boras, tell the Yankees I want around $45, $50 million a year for a total of, I can't, maybe the math is like $575 for 11, 10 years and stuff. And if the Yankees come close, I'm staying there, regardless of what the Mets offer. Because it's not so much the culture or the prestige of the organization. I think it's overall comfortability. And it seems like Soto settled with the Yankees, but ultimately he is going to listen to better offers. And maybe there's something that blows him out the water, but it might be just like the whole, his father being a ghost Yankee fan or whatever. And that whole, like, living in the, like, his, I think his, he has family in the Bronx and up in Harlem. Shout out to Harlem. Yeah. I'm not from there, but I love the area. So that's what it is. Like,
Aaron Judge got $40 million a year. We're only 2 years from that number. Juan Soto is not going to get more than $50 million a year. I think 50 is the higher end, right? I think, honestly, it's going to be compared around baseball, even with Judge's contract. When the Yankees first gave him that offer on opening day, which was a low ball offer, which obviously they tried to look at what Mookie Betts got and make the deal a little bit later. Judge declined that. So how much more is Juan Soto going to get to play right field? He ain't better than Judge. Not defensively, not offensively. But he's younger.
Technically, you're right. Yeah. And not to weigh on Ohtani, but Ohtani's getting paid $700 million because he pitches like an all-star, hits like an all-star.
Yeah, so in theory, you're paying for a DH and you're paying for an ace. And you know what? There's deferred money. He's not really making $70 million a year for 10 years.
No.
And I've talked about it a bunch. Thanks for the call, Moose. Again, the revenue that Ohtani makes, Ohtani is the richest player off the field for his brand deals. I haven't seen too many Dodgers games live, but when I watched him play for Anaheim, every time he came up, the stadium changed. The advertisements changed. I couldn't imagine what it's like when they're cutting the Shohei Ohtani's at bat in Japan. There's a ton of Japanese media and advertisers that follow this guy. That money that they make, it's ridiculous. Even years after, when this money's deferred, If Ohtani wins one World Series with the Dodgers, even if he doesn't, he's going to finish the rest of his career with the Dodgers. They will make money off of his bobbleheads, his jersey sales, everything Ohtani sells. Shout out to my guy Kenny from RotoWear. He made a couple Ohtani shirts. They are selling. He's shipping to Japan every day. It's different. Now, Juan Soto has an impact, obviously, on the Dominican Republic, but it is not even half of what Ohtani's impact is as a global icon. 888-808-1019. So we got to stop. There's no reason to bring the $700 million that Ohtani makes into the Juan Soto conversation. You can look at the $40 million that Aaron Judge makes as a right fielder and employed by the New York Yankees. And 2 years after, right, that 2022 season, here we are in the 2024 season, you can estimate what Juan Soto is going to get. And I'm telling you, like, if we want to say that Steve Cohen is going to be the other highest bidder, we're not sure of that either. I heard a caller today, I think called into Mark Malusa. Shout out to Moose filling in for BT and Sal. And he was talking about how Steve Cohen is 0 for 4 on free agents. And you know what? Aaron Judge should be in our dugout right now, but he didn't pursue him. I don't expect that to be the case with Juan Soto, but I do know that Hal Steinbrenner and Steve Cohen have somewhat of a relationship. And how many times are they going to go back and forth on offers this winter? There's going to be a number. The Yankees have a foot up in the game. They probably already have a number floated out there. And then when they talk to David Stearns and Steve Cohen, we'll see what that number is. But again, so much has to happen this season. I think the Mets raised their stock. The Mets winning? I mean, Juan Soto stepped into the Subway Series and got his ass kicked by the Mets. So he was on the wrong side during the Subway Series. Here we go again, June 23rd and 24th. If the Mets come to town and beat the Yankees again, that potentially gives them a leg up. They're winning. Their brand is changing. They've hit refresh on what the Mets can be in the future. I'm not going to discard the Mets and say, he doesn't want to play for those bums. They have the most money. They have the richest owner. They have a winning team. They definitely have a spot in right field for him. Now, I did say, if you guys caught this, right field in Yankee Stadium versus right field in Citi Field, big difference. Just dimension-wise, just the way that the fans can embrace you in Yankee Stadium, the roll call, the Dominican flags in section 103, 104, right around the foul pole, that whole area, that's Juan Soto land. It's different in Citi Field. The fans are pushed back, and they're further above you. So, it all plays a factor. But at the end of the day, money talks. This guy is trying to be the highest paid player in the sport. He's not going to be Ohtani, but he can be the highest paid right fielder. He can be the highest paid of this class, and we'll get there. 888-808-1019.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
It's the Beastie Boys. Another good drop. Pete McPherson on the Fan. KM to AM, it hits different. That's what the kids say. Anywho. Don't you tell me. All right. 888-808-1019. Waiting for Clay Holmes to enter the All-Star game. It's 5-3 AL over the NL in the top of the eighth. Live on TikTok. Shout out everybody on TikTok. I haven't gone live on TikTok in weeks. I just kind of forgot about it. Somebody just messaged me. They said, is this the real Keith McPherson? I said, yeah, I just don't have as many followers on TikTok because I forget. I tweet every day. I post on my Instagram story every day. I neglect TikTok. It's a long story, man. When I first got on TikTok, it was a lot of little girls dancing in their rooms, like teenage girls twerking and doing the same choreography. And it was super weird. It was giving me To Catch a Predator vibes. I'm a grown man. I was like, I don't like this app. I can't be on here. And fast forward now, it's all this other stuff. It's different now. There's a shop on there. People go live on there. Any niche you want to find. I watch people freestyle on there. I watch people DJ on there. And now people are watching me host a live radio show on the greatest sports talk radio station ever created. I don't have CBS Radio. I don't have Twitch. I don't have SNY. So none of you can actually see me during my show. But I just had the thought to, like, you know, fire up my iPhone for those of you that want to see what I look like. Face for radio. Working on the voice. Back to the phones we go. Everybody's still talking. Pete Alonso, Juan Soto, Home Run Derby, All-Star Game. Tonight, we've talked about everything from Davante Adams, Brandon Ayuk. Brandon Ayuk, I didn't fully speak on, and I'll say this. It's quick. He's in a good situation. He's just frustrated because he's not the man. Winning is everything, bro. Stay with that team. This could be the year that they win the Super Bowl. If you want to force your way out so that you can get your targets, so that you can be a fantasy football player and, I don't know, play for the Panthers or the Chargers or something, the Commanders, sure, I guess. Force your way out and see what it's like to lose and not get your targets. Force your way out and see what it's like to lose and catch 10 passes but not get in the end zone. I just think Brandon Ayuk's got to chill. I think they will pay him. He's done too much in the offseason with the social media. Something like, if you can't afford a Ferrari, you can't have one. Bro, shut up. Like, the 49ers are upper echelon in the NFL as an organization. Don't force your way out and go somewhere where you think the grass is greener and it's actually not. That happens in the NFL all the time. 888-808-1019. I was trolling with the whole Gary Keith and Ron being in 22 place and Michael Kay being in first place. It's quite the opposite. Awful Announcing put out their rankings. And The Athletic originally did their rankings of the best booths in baseball. I don't know why we got to keep going over this. I saw Michael Kay trending. Shout out to the Kaser. That's my guy. But I don't know why we got to keep going over who's the best booth. Gary, Keith, and Ron, SNY have been voted the best booth. Like, multiple times by multiple different people, different metrics. Good. It's New York. At least we have something up at the top. The teams aren't up at the top. But I have no problem with the SNY guys being that. I'm a Yankee fan. I'm leaning K, Cone, Paulie, Flash, whomever. But yes, I tip my cap to SNY, Gary, Keith, and Ron, and what they do. I mean, they better be a good booth. All those Mets losses they have to go through, all those blown saves, the bullpen giving it up in the beginning of the year, how many rock bottoms they have to go through, have to sit through. I remember watching Gary Cohen. He was disgusted because they had to sit through a rain delay. He wanted to go home. He did a good job, so. Yeah, I wanted to clear that up because people are still tweeting at me. And Will called like, Keith, it's on Twitter. I know, that's where I got it from. It's jokes. It's fun and games. It's radio. All right, back to the phone we go. Let's go to Matt in Woodstock, Connecticut. What's up, Matt? You're on the Fan.
Keith, love you, man. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir. You got it.
I just wanted to get your opinion because personally, ever since they changed the original rules to the Home Run Derby, I've just thought it's just been going downhill every single year. And I think back to like Josh Hamilton, Robbie Cano, like all these Home Run Derbies, and I just don't see us having another one like that with these rules. I don't know what you think.
No, I'm right there with you. I've seen the last few lives since they've changed it. I don't know. They can't go back to what it was. So much is dependent.
Right, but... Yeah, exactly. They can't go back to that, but at the same time, it's like dudes are barely hitting home runs. And not necessarily from skill issue, but I think from the pitching standpoint and the way that the outs work and everything, I just think that throws a damper on it.
No, it does. It wasn't fun to watch yesterday. And you know what? They changed it from the head-to-head. I mean, the head-to-head was better. At least, like, I was physically there last year. It was more electric last year having a face-off.
Absolutely, And that's the element that the people want to see. You know, we want to see like guys hitting nukes, and we want to see some competitions.
It used to be 10 outs, and yeah. I thought that was great. But then, you know, the phrase "there's no clock in baseball." They put a clock in baseball in the Home Run Derby, and I don't know. Now we're at a spot where, like, I think that they're potentially ruining one of the best one of the best skill competitions in sport, if not the best skill competition in the sport.
Oh, absolutely. Growing up as a kid, that was one of the main things I looked forward to in the baseball season. And yeah, halfway through, especially when the Yankees are doing garbage like they are, it's something, you know, that takes your mind off stuff like that. And I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You can do too much fixing and then it's beyond repair.
Right? Hopefully, I mean, at least we got a good All-Star game tonight.
Yeah, at least they set it up for the All-Star game to be better than the Derby, and it's usually the other way around. Thanks for the call, Matt. Appreciate you, man. 888-808-1019. Tanner Scott on the mound for the National League. He'll be somebody that we expect to be traded at the deadline. Maybe he'll be a Met. Maybe he'll be a Yankee. Who knows? Stay tuned next time on Dragon Ball Z. Eli is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Eli? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yesterday I had called and spoke to you about Pete Alonso, and I said, how would it impact the Mets? Would it be good or bad? And then you cut me off and know, I couldn't continue my point.
Well, what you said was how, like, you were talking about the Derby performance, correct?
Yes.
Go on.
All right. So, now that he was a complete no-show in the Derby, he can't hit 55-mile-per-hour meatballs, and he can't hit Major League Baseball pitches. Like, the guy is horrible. The Mets need to trade him while they can and get something decent for him, because we're not going to get an all-star for him. We're not going to get anyone, like, solid for him. The best, I would guess, is a few prospects. You know, and
Paulie and I were just trying to not laugh at the mic. I had to let you go, Eli. You said I cut you off. You're, but like, you're basing all of this off of an indoor swinging competition. I can't. Do you not really watch the game? Do you not really watch baseball? Now, because Pete Alonso failed at the home run derby, he can't hit a 50-mile-an-hour. He's never get, there's no Ephus pitches. There's barely any knuckleballs. He's not facing 50-mile-an-hour pitches.
That one is like, that's a little bit much. What I would say, though, is that when someone says they want to be somewhere for life, and they've said that for about 4 or 5 years, which Pete has said over and over again, he wants to be a Met for life. I do question why he hasn't told his representation to get a deal done no matter what. I honestly think that's a fair criticism from any Met fan, is that he keeps on saying he wants to be a Met for life.
I'm going
to
use what the Mets fans use about Juan Soto. He's going to free agency. All Scott Boras clients go to free agency.
Well, he hasn't said he wants to be a Yankee for life. That's the difference. Pete has repeatedly said that I want to be here for life. So he keeps saying that.
For 3 years, he said that. Then he went and got Scott Boras, and now Scott Boras takes all of his clients to the open market.
So when you combine that with the fact that he hasn't signed, obviously, the Mets are going to risk losing him for nothing if he decides not to re-sign. I think that has a better chance of happening than most Mets fans, and that's me being an objective Mets fan. I wonder how badly he actually wants to be.
If he's a man of his word, I think you have the richest owner in the sport that can match any offer. And unlike Saquon in that situation, if Pete really wants to be here, like he says, and he gets an offer in the offseason from the Houston Astros and comes back to David Stearns and Steve Cohen and says, here's what we got. They can match it and beat it.
I think Stearns has the guts to say that's too much. I think Stearns has the guts to say, you know what? Instead of spending $30 million a year on Pete for 6 years or whatever it is, I think we can get three players that could match that, that can match him and match that production, or two players.
I also think he can be overruled by Steve Cohen. I also think they can get crafty because we don't know what the market for Pete Alonso is not going to be robust. I'm telling you, I know everybody loves him around here, but it's not going to be five teams lining up to give him the Mega Millions. It's not going to be hard for them to say, yeah, go out there and check. And then when he comes back with two, maybe three teams, say, yeah, we could beat that. And there's so many ways to beat it, either years or AAV. Like, I think they're playing this right. They've played it right from the start. Pete Alonso played it wrong.
I have no issue with what the Mets are what the Mets have done. I have an issue with Pete repeatedly saying he wants to be a Met for life and not doing anything
training.
About it.
That's media. What else is he supposed to say? He's never
don't
been anywhere
say
else.
Say that, dude. Don't even other players. Jacob DeGrom never said that.
Dipped.
Don't say that.
No,
don't you
no,
back
you
yourself
do
into
say
a
that.
Corner if you're a,
Listen,
if you're a fan.
I said today when I saw him with the cowboy hat and the bolo and looking like a Texas Ranger, and then he's talking about the guy singing the national anthem is one of his favorite country singers. I'm like, this isn't New York. I even had people tweeting me, New Yorkers don't wear cowboy hats. Remember Jeter talking about the cowboy hat? I'm like, yeah. Well, Pete Alonso is not a natural New Yorker. He's here for the Mets. Maybe there's a part of him that wants to go elsewhere, to the South, somewhere else. But what he's supposed to say is, I'm a Met. I've always wanted to be a Met. It's home here. I want to be here and stay here until something else materializes. It's fine. What people say and what people do are two different things. After all is said and done, more is said than done.
All I can do, though, is go based on what he's saying, go based on his word, right? He has said he wants to be a Met for life. He said that for the last three or four seasons, and he has not done anything about it, and he's not told his representation to do anything about it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not even talking
about
it.
You don't know that. I think he might have, and Scott Boras advised him, no, it's best for us to play this out. You might go and hit 50 home runs this year.
Right, and I'm not even talking
halfway
about
through.
His play on the field right now. And we're not, and by the way, for everyone who's, we're about 60% of the season through. So we're past halfway. They played 92 plus games, right?
It's the All-Star break, but there's more than,
right. Right. So, and I know you know that, but for everyone saying he's halfway through, he has, you know, whatever, you know, how many home runs, you're not halfway through. You're like 65% of the season.
He's going to have to really pick it up to get to the 40, 45.
Right. And again, he's been an incredible Met. Really good, you know, face of the franchise type guy, even though this is not his team, it's Francisco Lindor's team. But forgetting that, you know, for a second, he's been a really, really, really good Met. But I just don't know if he's going to be worth $25 million for the next 6 or 7 seasons. That's what he's going to ask for.
It is going to be interesting, man. You have Scott Boras, who represents Gerrit Cole. Scott Boras, who represents Carlos Rodon. He's familiar with Brian Cashman and the Yankees. You have Scott Boras, who represented Carlos Correa. And we know how that all worked out with Steve Cohen. I got a kick out of that on the Fan. That was fun. That was good times. Especially because I remember Judge getting announced as the 16th captain of the New York Yankees. And there was this cloud hanging over because the night before, in the middle of the night, Steve Cohen signed Carlos Correa. Ooh. Never really happened. But here you go. Yeah, this guy represented Michael Conforto. It's going to be interesting. But I'll say this about Juan Soto and also about Pete Alonso. There is no extension. We can talk about extension. There is no extension. They are both going to test free agency. And if we can draw a parallel from the 2023 offseason to the 2024 offseason, Scott Boras does not have the leverage, bro. He is not the Bond villain. He's not baseball's Bond villain. Oh, evil Scott Boras coming in. Like, nobody fears him. And maybe it's collusion. Maybe the league has colluded against him. But just look at the Boras five from last year. None of them got the big long-term deals. All of those guys will be seeking second deals. All of those guys have 2 to 3 year deals with an opt-out. Scott Boras can't get what he wants anymore. 888-808-1019. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back. Then we'll go to the 11 o'clock hour. My Casamigos big shot of the night and whatever you guys want to talk about. And I've obviously got a couple more things I'll sprinkle in as well. We're having a good time. KM to AM returns right after this.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
A Boricua, a Morena, Dominicana, a Colombiana. Uptown, baby, uptown.
I'm downtown, though. Hudson Square, not far from Tribeca, not far from the Holland Tunnel, Canal Street. It's the Fan in New York. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host. Thanks for holding through the break. Thanks for holding if you're on hold. Let's see if we can get a call or two in before we go to the break. And you know what's hilarious? I knew this was going to happen. Not that the American League was going to win, which they just did 5-3. But I was live on TikTok and people were like, yo, when are you going to bring in Clay Holmes? And I started going through the pitchers that they had left in the American League. They didn't even use Clay Holmes. Why would they use Clay Holmes? They don't want somebody coming into the game walking batters. They got a 2-run lead. Oh, you know what's crazy? The New York Yankees had a 5-3 lead the last game that they played. And they went to Clay Holmes because that's their chosen closer. And what happened? American League's like, no, we're going to go to Emmanuel Clase. Are you dumb? We're not putting Clay Holmes in this game to close the game. We want to win the game. We're not putting a guy in that's going to walk a couple batters, give up a couple hits, put us in jeopardy, put guys on the base pass. No. Leave that for the Yankees to do. 888-808-1019. I got to tweet that out right now. I got to tweet that out right now before we get back to the phones because that's just a parallel I picked up on. Oh, yeah, it was 5-3 when we last saw Clay Holmes enter the game. The 5-3 in this game, they weren't messing around. Let's go to Lou and Astoria on the Fan. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Keith. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, that's an unfamiliar, right? Like last game against Baltimore, that is crazy. But what are you going to do? Listen, I got a couple of things that today. First of all, the All-Star break started with this lady, young lady, singing the national anthem, which what an embarrassment that was. But she's not the worst. There's a lady, I want you, you're too young. Her name is Roseanne Barr.
Roseanne?
Roseanne Barr.
I know Roseanne. She had the show, right, on Fox or something like
that? Yeah, she had a show, but I think it's too young. But anyway.
I'm older than I look.
Well, like, listen, she sang the national anthem. She sounded like a freaking, she was throwing up right through the singing. And at the end, she finished the song by spitting on the ground. I want you to take a look at that. That was embarrassing. So this is not the worst you have ever seen. Now, I got a question for you. Speaking of Shohei Ohtani, how come this guy, is he a bionic? I mean, Jason Dominguez, okay? Didi Gregorius had the same identical Tommy John surgery, and they couldn't play for a year. And this individual is incredibly plain, like he's going to be the MVP with the same situation. Okay, I got another point that I want to talk to you. Explain that to me.
Say that again. I'm trying to get this tweet out about Emmanuel Clase.
I want two lefty hitters like Didi Gregorius and Jason Dominguez. Had the same surgery, which they could have been DHing, just like Shohei Ohtani is doing right now. What is the difference that this guy can do that and other players cannot?
Oh, the difference is when they got the injury, when they had the surgery, and when they were available. Ohtani got that. They shut Ohtani down at the end of the season last year. Didi got hurt, I think, in the World Baseball Classic, or it was just too late. And, Gleyber Torres ended up going into that season, and then Dominguez got hurt during the end of the season last year, and it's just different circumstances, different bodies, different players, different contracts.
I don't, as you remember, even Tanaka was supposed to get Tommy John, he never got one. So I don't know, is this guy's, it's a different system? I mean, physically, I don't understand, it makes no sense to me, but anyway.
It's not one size fits all.
Okay, listen, let me ask you something, that's another point that finally the New York Yankee announcer on Yes Channel finally brought it up, and nobody has ever done that. The Bambino, Babe Ruth, one time was pitching, okay, and he threw a pitch that he thought was a strike, and you know what? He got angry. He approached the umpire, punched him out, knocked him out cold, okay, and he only got suspended for 10 games. In today's game, I guarantee you, not only he'd be arrested for assault, but he'd be banned from the game. But nobody says anything about him because he's American Idol. Your thought on that?
Yeah, and what year was that?
Jesus, man, 1948, whatever.
Yeah, there was no cell phones. There was no WFAN.
I understand that.
There was no Twitter.
But what is the difference? Why did this guy? I mean, are you serious? If that happens today, I don't even know if you can pitch if you can play another game. That's unbelievable. He actually knocked out an umpire for calling a ball that he thought was a strike.
Yeah, back then they didn't have an umpires union, so he was allowed to do whatever. You know, those guys weren't protected back then, Lou. Ed is in Mohegan. What's up, Ed? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what do you say, man? All right, so listen, Juan Soto. This is I haven't seen this with any other player. If he winds up going to another team, after this season, that'll be four teams inside of what? 5 years? 6 years? 5 years?
Yeah.
I've never seen a player at the peak of his career play on so many different teams in such a short time. Like maybe at the end of your career. You play, like if Ohtani winds up playing the next 10 years with the Dodgers and then bounces around two or three more teams to kind of stay in the league. But he's one of the top players in the game. And I'm wondering if that attitude rubs off on the team. I understand he left Washington. He went to Padres, now the Yanks. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Now he's going to leave again. Well, I understand he wants the money. But it's just odd. I've never seen that with a player in the prime of his career.
I think it's more about his age, how young he entered, right, and how we've known for years when he's going to hit free agency, and the price keeps going up of these players. I think it's more about the age and the price tag than the attitude, because, we haven't heard a bad word about his attitude with the Yankees. yeah, you know, he turned down the $440 million from the Nationals, which is understandable. All of those guys left. Bryce Harper left. Anthony Rendon left. Trey Turner left. Their whole team dissipated. The pitchers gone. Max Scherzer, Strasburg, out of there. Forget Zimmerman. All those guys are out of there, gone. Like, there was no reason for him to stay. And
Why would the Padres let him go? The Padres knew
they weren't going to be able to pay them with their payroll. And then there was some issues with guys that they already paid, like Machado, like Fernando Tatis, where it was like, whatever, we'll get rid of this guy. They didn't know what they wanted to do. Like, I was so surprised to see them trade for Luis Arraez and Dylan Cease after giving up Juan Soto, because they could have kept Juan Soto with that team this year and done that. I mean, a lot
of Dylan Cease ain't that great. He has a lot of strikeouts, but you know what? Strikeouts are fascist. Kevin Cox.
I don't disagree. Dylan Cease was a guy that Yankee fans wanted, and when that deal got done, Yankee fans cried about it. And I'm like, well, I mean, I don't know how much better he would have been for this Yankees team. But what I'll say about Juan Soto is it's the age. It's about when he's going to hit free agency. It's about the price tag. And I also tip my cap to Omar Minaya and Brian Cashman. Thanks for the call, Ed. From what I read during the time, it was the All-Star game last year in Seattle. And I've talked about this a bunch on The Fan because Jeter was the first one to say, yeah, I think Brian Cashman and the Yankees need to go after Juan Soto at this time last year. And I'm like, ah, they're not going to do that. They're not good enough, and they're not going to give up what it takes. And then I came back from the All-Star game, and I got off the roller coaster because the first series, the Yankees go to Colorado and lose to the last place Rockies. I'm like, oh, this team sucks. They find ways to lose. They're not good. And the first show I did, Buster Only said that maybe, possibly, potentially, perhaps, if maybe could the Yankees trade for Shohei Ohtani, they would. And everybody ran with that. Keith, do you think we're getting Ohtani? Do you think? I'm like, no. For what? For what? One, the Angels aren't trading him, and the Yankees aren't going to give up what it takes. But around that time, I think the Yankees, no, I know Brian Cashman, Omar Minaya, and the Yankees, AJ Preller, the GM of the San Diego Padres, has a relationship with Brian Cashman and more so Omar Minaya. They had already had the conversation started in July of 2023. So then when we got to December of 2023, they just refired up where they were. And the Yankees never lost their position in line. They were first in line, and they were the first ones to make the deal. Brian Cashman almost walked away from the deal for Michael King, to keep Michael King. And they didn't. So Juan Soto is a Yankee.